If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined by festive Pete Donaldson, once bitten, not twice shy. Here he is. How are you getting on, Pete? What's going down?
I am good. I've just noticed in the camera lens slash screen that I've got hair like that. You know that man on the internet who, not on the internet, he's like a meme, but he was taken from like a Discovery TV show and his hair's really big and he's going, aliens, and he's obsessed with aliens. He's an aliens guy. My hair looks like that because it's 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday.
it looks like you've just taken a big handful of like air gel and just from the 80s and just whapped stuck it in your hair, pulled it back. You look like an Italian gangster who's been intimate with an alien.
What's the big brand out there? Is it Gandhi? I think it might be Gandhi, aren't you?
Gandhi?
Or Dandy.
Gandhi?
What's the one in Japan? Isn't there like there's a hair brand for boys that's like Gandhi or Dandy or something like that? I can't remember.
You've made this up.
Every 7-Eleven. It's like the Lynx Africa. It's so ubiquitous of hair stuff. I'm fairly certain it's Gandhi.
Oh, I've got some. Wait one sec. Keep talking.
Chris is just heading off into... I don't know why he would have any hair products in his office, for crying out loud.
I got it here. Because I do videos here, don't I? I want to look slick. Called Mandom. Mandom.
Mandom. That sounds like a special interest kind of gel.
Oh,
are you sure that's for your hair, mate? That little top there?
Mandom. How have I never realised this?
The brand
of hair gel is called Mandom. And it looks like they've got the Google logo on it as well. It's all a bit weird.
Is the Google. It looks like a little like a little smart speaker, doesn't it?
It does.
Or an ice hockey puck. Either way, Mandom.
Mandom.
See if there's a subdom, Mandom, Mansub, Mandom.
Oh dear.
Oh dearie me. How are you doing, Chris? I noticed yesterday that you were doing a hefty live show, and I do like it when you do live shows because literally anything can happen.
And nothing did happen. Actually, someone claims to have seen a ghost in the live show at the end, and that creeped me out, and I ran away from my studio. It was all a little bit sad, to be honest.
What time was it that you were doing the live show?
So I started at 11:30 p.m. and I finished at 3:30 p.m.
Oh, no.
So it was the longest live show I've ever done.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun, actually. Everyone was really cool. It's so weird having like 8,000 people watching when you're just alone in a room being stalked by ghosts. It's quite a weird thing. But it was good fun. It was the first live show I've done in the ramen shop, right? And you've seen the setup for some time, given that's how I do the podcast. But it was cool, like doing a live show against the backdrop. It feels like I'm in like an alleyway in Tokyo as opposed to alone in a room in Sendai. So it's pretty cool.
We did have
the Connor dance to kick it all off. There's a little, you can do a trailer to a live show on YouTube now, so people can watch a video while they wait. And I got some footage of Connor dancing that was on the online. Someone had green screened him dancing, superimposed him in front of a green screen. And I took the footage and made him dance on a volcano to Too Much Volcano. And the results were kind of good and pretty fun. You've seen it.
It's like doing
I certainly do.
It's like a little, is that a Fortnite dance from back in the day,
Probably.
Remember when Fortnite was just all about dancing? Dungeons and Dragons.
I remember all too well.
Now it's about commerce.
Is Fortnite still a thing? I wasn't really there. Very much so.
I mean, I think it's technically the most advanced manifestation of what, you know, Web 3.0 legends are sort of talking about the metaverse. They're kind of saying that that's kind of what it's going to look like. It's kind of the design that we're, you know, it's just basically a place to sell your stuff, I suppose, to a certain extent. I was actually, speaking of video games, I was playing, as they've put for the new Matrix game, Chris, they've put on PlayStation 5.
Oh, yeah, I saw a trailer for it.
They've put on the new Xbox and the PlayStation 5, and I think on Steam PC as well. They have created like a Unreal Engine, basically just advert, Unreal Engine 5 celebration slash trailer slash, it's not really a trailer even, really. It's just a bit of a dick about kind of walking around a city scene for the Matrix, basically, the new Matrix film. And I must have spent like an hour just floating around this bloody gargantuan, you know, fully realised, I mean, it's basically New York, I suppose, or Chicago or something. You're sort of floating around. And I just spent, like, all the time just looking through these bloody windows in these buildings. And I think it's the same tech they've used for, what a creepy boy. And I think they've used the same tech for the last Spider-Man game and stuff, how you can look in pretty much every window and there's always something in there.
Really?
And I cannot believe someone's managed to, I cannot believe they've managed to do that. Make such variety looking.
But what did you see in the window? So, did you see Connor dancing to Too Much Volcano?
Every window just had a version of Connor dancing, just in different clothes. It was like an NFT drop. It was just Connor with different clothes on dancing. But I was just. That's what I spent like the last hour of Saturday doing, and that's why I'm so tired. Just floating around, looking in windows. I'm fascinated by the tech.
What did you see? What was one thing you saw there? Was there anything actually good in the window?
A photocopier, a vending machine. It's very. They've done something interesting with bump maps and rays and height maps and stuff. So there's not actually any polygons or polygonal data behind the window, but it very much looks like there is. And it just basically saves on a lot of computational processing power. But it's amazing. I just think what they've done is amazing. So look, high fives to Unreal Engine 5. I'm very much an Unreal 5 guy. It does look very cool.
I'm all for like building a 3D digital world that's like feels living, breathing. They tried to do that with Cyberpunk, and I guess they came kind of close in some respects, but they didn't have it so you could look into every window, right? In Cyberpunk,
It's not quite as vertical. I'm sort of still sort of revisiting it here and there. It's an astonishing bit of work. It's just, you know, clearly the marketing people are the shareholders needed it released a year before it was actually ready. So that's just the way of the world this time. The way of the world.
It's a shame. If they'd got another year it would have been pretty damn epic. But I still haven't really played it. I did play it very briefly on the PlayStation 4, but it was just very bad. And so I held fire. And you still can't get a PlayStation 5 easily in Japan. You just can't walk into a shop and buy one. Is it like that in the UK? Like, you still can't get one?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you'll occasionally hear of, like, one of the shops having a bit of stock. But, yeah, it's just... it's weird, isn't it? Like, I don't know how... was it PlayStation? I think PlayStation 5, for the first time, overtook the original Nintendo Switch for 1 week in Japan. And, of course, that's a new... If you got like a new PlayStation, if you got like a new computer out, a new game system out, that's going to be the most popular thing. So you would imagine that it should be overtaking a system that's like 4 years old or whatever. But it's only managed to do it in 1 week, I think. So yeah, weird.
The Switch is still extremely popular in Japan. Even now, it can be a little bit tricky to get one sometimes. But for the PlayStation 5, the only way to get hold of one here is like a Willy Wonka style fucking golden ticket extravaganza. Who like bought 100 raffles and they won, and I was a little bit angry and resentful and jealous. well done to him.
They're going to enact in Britain. I think they're going to enact some kind of. Some kind of law that makes it illegal to scalp systems, you know, PCs, video games, you know, cards, video game systems. I think that's the case. Knowing what we know about our government, they'll probably fuck it up, but
you know? How dare you? Boris Johnson is a fine, upstanding man, and he's so brilliant.
Oh, it's been a busy, busy week. It really has.
Well, I could go off on one about that, but let's not. Let's go for the story of the week. And this week, we've got a story from Bryce. He says, hello, Chris and Pete. Loving the podcast. My name's Bryce. I'm from Australia. I've had the most embarrassing faux pas of any person in Japan ever. Wow, it's a pretty big, pretty bold opening gambit there, Bryce. I was on a relatively prestigious university tour group from Australia to Kobe before COVID. We had just spent a whole day with the delightful people of the faculty learning about the Great Hanshin earthquake. During a little lull in proceedings, I had to go to the restroom. Unfortunately, the toilet was extremely high-tech and was covered with hiragana and katakana and kanji characters in the same way a fruitcake is littered with raisins. Some powerful visual imagery right there, Bryce. Needless to say, what I thought was the flush button was, in fact, the emergency alarm button. Oh, God. I've often thought, how often do people hit that button? They do a really stupid job of this in Japan. Every toilet has, like, an emergency alarm button, and it's, like, yeah, right next to the flush button. And I think if you, to some people, it's not clear what it is. So I'm not surprised. Before I knew it, the lights were flashing and the loudest siren ever invented by humans in the world started blaring. I tried to run away, but made it only to the wash basins before a group of students arrived and ran inside to the recently vacated cubicle, responding to what they thought was a genuine medical emergency. Suffice to say, I did not have to flush the toilet that day. I heard the sound of a flush and saw the other students emerge from the cubicle with aghast faces. The only thing I said in response to this was a frantic barrage of "Sumimasen, sumimasen, arigatou gozaimasu," as they were the only phrases I knew in Japanese at the time. And then I ran away faster than the Nozomi Super Express Shinkansen. The rest of the seminar day was extremely awkward, as myself and the same students and the professors who'd walked into the toilet had to do presentation exchanges for the rest of the evening, all of us silently knowing what had taken place had they just gone and flushed the toilet on my behalf. Cheers, guys. Thanks for the great content. Well done on the new studio. Bryce from Australia, pushing his emergency buttons. I mean, easily done, but that is awkward.
It's up there with kind of pressing the open button on a train and the you know, those big train doors that are like a big rotating kind of circle. I've on more than one occasion opened one of them when I didn't need to. Absolute nightmare stuff. Awful.
It's easily done, though, isn't it? I do wonder how many people screw up with these Japanese toilets. They're very daunting. Some of them don't have English on. It's just characters. So,
oh, well, in...
Do some research before you go.
Yeah, definitely. I think in the Gundam Cafe in Akihabara, RIP, shut down this year. I think when you pressed... When you either flush the toilet... Yeah, when you flush the toilet... It would turn off all of the lights in the entire toilet, and then start flashing loads of lights and make it sound like the gun and make the Gundam like taking off noise. It was it was all very upsetting to anyone who didn't know what the hell was going on.
Bloody hell. It's a good thing you're in the toilet, because I think a lot of people would literally shit themselves in that scenario. Given how frightening that would be. Good Lord!
Oh no!
And I'll never get to experience it because it's shut. So far, I think it did shut, didn't it? We talked about it a while back.
Yeah, sure. I think. Yeah, terrible,
isn't it?
Terrible stuff.
Well, speaking of terrible things, actually, it's not terrible, is it? Your favourite Japanese tycoon, he's gone. He's left Earth, Pete. Your favourite Japanese billionaire, he's no longer here in Japan. He's not even on Earth. Where is he? And what has he done?
He's now a space tycoon, Yusaka Mizawa. Yusaku Mizawa, he's basically headed to the International Space Station, a slightly more ambitious trip around the moon with Elon Musk's SpaceX planned in 2023. He's basically been training at a space center outside Moscow before he's going to become basically the first space tourist to travel to the ISS in more than a decade. So he's obviously not the first. Other people have done it before. The Russians are quite open to that kind of thing, kind of caper, which kind of really makes it funny that everyone gets excited about Elon Musk and the Amazon blocks.
No, Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos, right? Yeah,
exactly. Sorry, yeah, Bezos and Branson. But he's going to spend 12 days on voyage. Mizawa said, flying into space has been a childhood dream. I'm excited. I feel like an elementary school student about to go on an outing. I hope he brought his sandwiches.
God.
For crying out loud. But yeah, so it's got lots of seats to fill. It's called the Roscosmos. And it's been increasing the number of civilian journeys has been taken this year. It sent an actor and a film director to the ISS where they filmed scenes for the first movie in orbit. Remember that we talked about this a little while ago? They were filming scenes actually in space.
Trying to beat Tom Cruise, who's also doing one as well, I think either later this year or next year. I say later this year, there's not much time left. It is funny though, isn't it? Like how these, we have like Jeff Bezos earlier on the year, he went like a 100 kilometers into space. And then we had like Richard Branson, who went like 50 or 60 kilometers into space. And that's all well and good going up there for 10 minutes or an hour in Branson's case. But then you suck my hour going for 12 days on the International Space Station. Now that is genuinely impressive. And he has his own YouTube channel. You can go and watch him. He's like did a live stream of him taking off. Mm. He's got a video of him like looking at the space station and he just posted a video of him talking about a toilet. The good old, what does a toilet look like? He went all that way just to point at a fucking toilet. For God's sake, man. Do something good for once. Everyone does that. Do something original.
I do like that he's been accompanied by his assistant as well, Yuzo Hirano, who will document the journey. And it's just like, oh, he can't even escape the admin, poor Yuzo. He's got to stick around for crying out loud with Mazawa. I mean, like, he's also going to be one of the first private passengers on the SpaceX moon trip that's going to be happening later, as we spoke about before. So it's like, that's going to be 2023. Could he not just go up to the ISS again? I'm sure he could just pay the same amount of money and go up again, for crying out loud.
Well, it's not cheap.
Bezos is nonsense. No.
Bezos is nonsense. I think it's somewhere in the region of like $50 or $100 million to do this, to go to the International Space Station. Don't quote me on that. I do remember reading it was around that figure. Of course, he's worth something like $3 or $4 billion. So, mere pocket change to you, Yusuke Maezawa. But I still wonder if this SpaceX trip is going to happen. He really did surprise everyone with this. This really came out of the blue. You know, I think he already announced it like a week before he was off, you know, to the International Space Station. But he's not as popular in Japan as I thought. I thought about interviewing him once and sort of talking about what he was doing around the moon. And I think we were going to reach out to him, but I spoke to a few Japanese friends and he's not overly popular because he's quite ostentatious and he's not sort of very Japanese in his mannerisms and how he spends his money. Like he spends hundreds of millions of dollars on artwork. He has a private jet that he often puts in his own vlogs on his YouTube. here's me with my
very
studio
Western.
And he's got a G5, like a G6 plane that he flies around Nagoya in. Well done you. But so I don't think he's overly popular, so I don't think I'll try and reach out to him and interview him. So your loss, Yusuke. You might have gone to the International Space Station. You might be going around the moon in 2023, but you haven't been on the Abroad Japan podcast, have you?
So, correct.
Life goals.
Correct. Why is he not, you know, like there's a lot of like internet nonsense, mainly aimed at men sort of my age and your age on Instagram and stuff. There's always like sort of, there's always this kind of like billionaire stan accounts that just basically, they're obsessed with billionaires. They're obsessed with Jeff Bezos. They're obsessed with Elon Musk. They're obsessed inexplicably with Tom Hardy. And why is Mazawa not in that? Why is Mazawa not in that? Because you see the Chinese guy who owns is it Alibaba?
Jack Ma.
Jack Ma. You see him quite a lot in those kind of inspirational, this guy, you know, grew up in a cave and now he's a billionaire kind of chat, you know what I mean? all these billionaires that had, you know, that obviously had a lot of money growing up as well, but they pretend that they didn't.
It's like, interesting.
They never talk about Mazawa or his name is.
I mean, he's not really... I think a lot of Japanese entrepreneurs and billionaires go under the radar. But I think a lot of the most successful people in Japan, they're quite frugal about it and they keep their heads down, which I kind of admire in some respects. We'll have to start one. If you poke under most stories of most billionaires and millionaires and very successful people, though, they usually have a much bigger head start than you realize. I find it really interesting. I've always wanted to know what leads someone to be a billionaire. And if you trace them back, they're often just very lucky to where they're born and situations that arise. In the same way,
diamond mines,
I was very lucky, I guess. Well, that I was very lucky to be born in one of the most economically prosperous countries in the world. I know the UK is not great, but it's still a great place to get a head start. We all get a head, you know. If you're listening to this, there's a good chance you have had a head start. But there's a great interview with Jack Ma and Elon Musk.
We're just two white men in a room, Chris. That's what I'm saying.
Two white men in a room. So it's
we've
a rebranding everything. Opportunity. There's a great interview with Jack Ma and Elon Musk, though. And Jack Ma just comes across as the biggest fucking idiot you've ever seen. And you've got to go and watch it. Once this podcast is over, guys, go on YouTube, type in Jack Ma, Elon Musk interview. And credit where it's due to Elon Musk. He's a very smart man and he knows his stuff. And Jack Ma knows nothing. He comes across as very crass. It's very much gone to his head, his success. And it's so funny. He keeps saying really stupid shit. Like, they're talking about AI at one point. Like, Elon Musk's like, AI is going to change the world. And Jack Ma's like, I don't think it is. You know what I call AI? I call it Alibaba intelligence. And a few people laugh in a sort of sycophant, it's a billionaire, he's clever sort of way. Everything he says, we've got to laugh at. And Elon Musk's like, and it all goes downhill from there. But I shit you not, it's the funniest fucking interview you'll ever see. And with that, we turn our attention to the fax machine after this break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got from our listeners this week, Mr. Dawson?
I like that inter-break introduction. Very enjoyable. Absolutely
dramatic.
Keeping us on the end of our seats. End? Edge. Noel. Noel. Hello, Noel. Hi, Dacres and Beats. I'm Noel, and I've recently moved to Japan as part of the JET program UK. Congratulations, Noel. You got in, mate. You got in there. Well, currently done. Situated in Yamaguchi Prefecture, my Board of Education have set me up with a wonderful host family. They've been so welcoming since I arrived and even offered for me to come and stay with them for both Christmas and New Year's. So my question is, how do I not fuck this up? More specifically, how does one be the perfect guest? What can I bring to the occasion? And is there anything I could do that would be considered disrespectful. Loving all your content and keep up the fantastic work. From Noel. Chris, how to not get it wrong?
How do I not fuck it up? What's to be specific? What do you mean? How to not fuck it up? How does one be the perfect guest? Well, I mean,
yeah,
just bring a gift, innit? Bring a gift.
Omiyage, chocolate.
Yeah, bring some British style gifts. I think when I first arrived, I brought I think like £100 worth of tea, exotic tea,
right?
And okay. I shared that out in the staff room. And people pretended to care and be interested. But the gesture was more important than the tea products. And I think that was it. I think I brought some chocolates as well. But I think bringing British gifts, British products, which are very rare in Japan and very hard to find, will always be appreciated. If you can't get any, well, you didn't bring any, then just go to a foreign goods store, buy some Cadbury's chocolate, remove the sticker that's got the Japanese on, and pretend like you shipped it over from London or brought it with you. That's what I've done many times, Noel, and it served me well. Lie, Noel. Lie to the people. But have a good time. Hope it goes well. I'm sure it'll be fun. We got one.
Were you sort of like unaware that the Japanese actually, they're quite into their tea? Did you just assume that they didn't drink tea? Hello, is there tea from England?
They don't like black tea as much as you think. Like this, in the staff room, right. Most people would drink either coffee is probably more popular, or they drink green tea. So my tea, I never felt it was truly appreciated. If I recall, I drank a lot of that tea myself, as I often do when I buy someone a gift of crisps or chocolate. I just eat it myself while they're not looking. Oh, we got Chris. One. Yeah. From Lindsay from Glasgow. So, hello, Chris and Pete. Merry bloody Christmas to you both. I went to Tokyo over a decade ago as part of a round-the-world trip. I've been so excited about visiting Japan that I didn't realise that my hotel was on a street with no name. Even the experienced taxi driver took ages to find it. I'll say right now, taxi drivers in Japan, they're very good, they're very nice, and the taxis are clean and efficient. But they don't know where they're going unless it's a station or a very big sort of 4 or 5 star hotel. So bear that in mind, guys. If you get a taxi in Japan, they aren't as knowledgeable as you think, and you often have to give them a specific address. To both of you, what was your first very day in Japan like? Do you remember it? And do you know why some streets in Tokyo, perhaps other areas in Japan, don't have names? All the best, Lindsay from Glasgow. Well, I mean, streets in Japan just don't have names in general. They use the American model, I think. Wait, they do have names in Japan, in the UK, in the US, don't they?
But in Japan, they don't. Street names, yeah. Do they not have street names? I mean, I think we said it before. It's really easy to sort of get around if you use the phone number of any company. I just usually
In Japan, they use a postcode sort of system, and that's the way they do it. Yeah,
right. Okay.
And each little district is broken up into like wards, like Ichome, Nichome, Sanchome.
Like
Shinjuku Sanchome or Nichome, as you know very well. They're sort of broken down like that, so they don't really have a street name. What was your very first day in Japan like, though, Pete? Do you remember it? You must. You simply must.
I think I was in the Cerulean Hotel in Shibuya.
Expensive.
Which was expensive. I went up to the, well, I was on like the 40th, 50th floor or something, and slept all day because I was really tired because I'd flown from Los Angeles that day. I think I just slept all day and then sort of went out at night, really, and you know, the first time you land in Japan, it's just a bloody assault. A friend of a friend basically was going to Yoyogi Park. So basically, I knew a guy in Los Angeles. He suggested hanging out with a mate who lives in Shinjuku. So she very kindly took me around, the second day I was there, or maybe it might have been the first day in the evening. She said, we're going to Yoyogi Park. So my first proper day in Japan was drinking one cup sake that I'd bought from the 7-Eleven in Yoyogi Park. So not quite iconic, I would say. Quite iconic.
That's pretty cool. I think my first day, I landed at Narita and got on a bus with all the other ALTs on the jet program. We went to the KO Plaza Hotel, which is in central Shinjuku in a skyscraper. It's kind of a cool place, to be honest. And then I think we were allowed to just sort of free roam. It was like a video game. And I had done the sort of tutorial levels and I was allowed to just do what I wanted. And I was a little bit scared and I didn't know what was going on. It was like 40 degrees Celsius that day. It was like July 31st, 2012.
Right.
And I remember just walking with some people into Shinjuku and just being so goddamn overwhelmed in the heat, the noises, the shop staff just shouting stuff, the pachinko places. Like everything was just so loud and intense.
Right.
But I... and then I went, I think I did karaoke with some of my fellow folks from Yamagata Prefecture. And then we went
nice.
To a gay bar in Shinjuku. Is it Sanchome? And that was
Nichome is the gay district.
Yeah, Nichome.
Lovely.
Yeah, we went there and
fun.
Watched a guy who was very drunk, a Japanese guy, have relations with a mirror. A giant mirror who he thought was a person.
and,
yeah, that was my first day. Set the bar pretty high. Set the bar very high indeed. We got one here from Johnny from Old Mexico. Over to you, Pete.
Johnny! Hello, chivalrous Chris and princely Pete. If you were the Prime Minister, or dictator, if you prefer, of Japan, we're going to get banned in Japan with this kind of chat. What would you change about the country? Johnny from Old Mexico.
Oh,
what would
Lord.
You change about it?
I remember I asked this to Natsuki once, what would you do if you're the Prime Minister? And he said, I'll give everybody a complimentary jumper. And I don't know where that came from to this day. I don't know what he was on about. But he was like, jumpers
for
everyone.
That's a vote winner.
Jumpers.
That's a vote winner, that.
Can you imagine that? Like, just as part of a campaign. What are you going to do for the people? A jumper, innit? Give you a jumper. Free jumpers.
It's warm. It's warm in winter. I'd take that. I think that's I remember when the Hartlepool United mascot became the mayor, the monkey mayor of Hartlepool. He his promises were the monkey mayor. He promised to give everyone bananas. He promised to give all our kids bananas, and he never saw good that promise. Annoyingly, he never gave the kids the bananas. Very upsetting.
That I don't know what's more ridiculous: giving everyone a banana or giving everyone a jumper. Although I guess there is reasoning behind the bananas, though, right? Because the Hartlepool relationship with monkeys. So, what would you do if you're Prime Minister?
I'd let me in. I'm not doing it on Zoom.
The first rule.
I'm not fucking doing it on Zoom, for crying out loud. I'd let me in. I want to have a bloody red eye.
I bet you do. I don't know what I would change. I would... I don't know. Any ideas? Any other ideas?
I would make I would digitize the country. I'd make forms a thing of the past because they're very boring.
Actually, I'd ban Hanko stamps because they're still not gone. They were supposed
still
to be like
gone,
eradicated,
still around. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're That's still annoying. Here, and I had to use it recently on some banking documents. And so it made me very angry. So, yeah, get rid of the personal seal. Get rid of the Hanko stamps. Get rid of seal. Kiss My Rose. Good song. And, that's it, isn't it? That's my only thing I'd enact. And then I'll do nothing else.
Lovely. Sorted. We sorted Japan, guys.
Boris Johnson. Fantastic. Well, keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. If you missed the live show on the Chris Abroad channel, guys, go and check it out. It was the fifth day of the 12 days of Christmas, and it was a lot of fun. Still a few more days to go. 7 by my count. Keep an eye out. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have a great few days, and we'll see you later in the week to do it all over again right here on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Beautiful.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.